my Bible.
This is my Bible.
This is the true word of God.
The word of God is
true.
I believe what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I believe God has given us this word.
I believe God has given us this book.
So I can live a victorious Christian life.
Not just when I die,
but right now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 14.
Romans chapter 14.
Romans chapter 14. When you get there, say amen.
Romans chapter 14.
Romans chapter 14.
I heard some feedback coming from somewhere.
See if I can locate it.
Romans chapter 14. There we go.
Romans chapter 14.
Are you all there? Look at verse number 3. In verse number 3, the Bible says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Verse 4 says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. And then verse 5 says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. And then the Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Amen?
Hallelujah.
In Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Christians at the church of Rome. And the reason why he wrote the letter to them is because they were facing a problem that a lot of Christians have today. They had a problem that a lot of Christians have today. In other words, they were judging people and offending people because of their differences of opinions, okay, and their difference of belief on certain issues. They were judging people and offending people because some of the Christians there had a difference of opinion and a difference of belief on certain issues. Just like Christians today. Are you all still with me? Amen. And in chapter 14, because of their differences of opinions, okay, the Apostle Paul wrote them a letter here because they had a different opinion on what food that Christians can eat and can't eat. And they had a different opinion on other issues as well. So the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to address their situation. Are y'all still with me? Because as a result of them focusing on what other people believe and or do not believe, as a result of them focusing on their own opinion, they had lost reality of what the Christian life is really all about. Are y'all still with me this morning? How many of you know that sometimes you can get so wrapped up in your own mindset or of what's right and what's wrong, and you can get so judgmental against someone else that you can lose focus of what the Christian life is really about? Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And the Apostle Paul wanted to get them back on track because as we live in this world today, a lot of us, talking about Christians, a lot of, and if you're not one, you can be one today, but a lot of us judge people, okay? We judge people. A lot of us offend people because they don't believe what we believe, because they don't have what we have, because they don't do the things that we do. And because they don't do the things that we do, We think that our way is above their way, and we think in many cases that we are better than they are, and as a result of those false opinions of ourselves, we ended up sowing discord amongst our brothers and our sisters. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So the Apostle Paul saw that in the Christians in Rome. He saw that they had lost focus of what the Christian life is really about. And he wrote a letter to them to get their attention. And one of the things that he addressed to them is, number one, he told them in so many words that everyone have the right to have their own opinion. He said everyone has the right to have their own opinion. Okay. And then number two, he told them that as Christians, and the word is for us today, that they had and we have no authority to judge people or to offend people because of their own opinion. Are y'all still with me? We have no reason to judge people or offend people because of their own reasons. He said to them in so many words, he said, what they believe is just as important to them as what you believe is important to you. Are y'all still with me? What they believe is important to them, and what is more important to them is what we believe is important to us, because as I told you before, they were having discussions about, you know, like we do today, what food Christians should eat and what food Christians shouldn't eat, you know, whether Jesus was black, white, green, brown, or orange, whether we should do things this way or that way. And they were conflicting about things that really doesn't matter. Are y'all still with me? And Paul said, because of you, you're judging each other, because of you are causing problems in each other's life, you've lost complete focus on what the Christian life is really all about. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And he told them in so many words, he said, before you judge others, there's something that's very important that you must never forget. Do y'all know what that was? He said, before you judge others, there's something important that you must never forget. And he told them in verse number 7 through 9 what those things are. Look at what he said here in chapter 14, verse 7. He says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. He says, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we did live, therefore, or die, we are whose? The Lord's. He told them that regardless of what you believe, regardless of what the other person believes, the bottom line is the fact that we all belong to God. Are y'all still with me? Now, notice what I said. I said we all belong to God, because I know that there are many people in the world who have rejected God. In other words, they have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But although they have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they still belong to God, because God is the one who created mankind. Are y'all still with me this morning? Okay. So he said, listen, instead of you all judging one another, instead of you all sowing discord, instead of you all offending one another, you need to come online and realize the fact that none of that stuff really matters. What matters is the fact that we all belong to God. And the reason why we belong to him is because Jesus paid a price for us. And listen to this. Not only did he pay a price for Christians, he also paid a price for those who are non-Christians, because Jesus died for the sins of the world. Are you all still with me this morning? Because see, a lot of times, not only do Christians judge other Christians, we also judge people who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I mean, you know, Jesus died for them also. Are y'all still with me this morning? He died for them also. See, he didn't just die for Christians. He died for those who are not Christians as well. And not only that, the Bible tells us that in Acts 17, that as Christians, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our what? Being. So what that tells me is that what without him, we are nothing. Are y'all still with me this morning? We are nothing without him. Now, once again, we are nothing without him because, as I said before, Jesus paid the price for us. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible tells us, chapter 6, that because Jesus paid for us, the Bible says that our bodies is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are not our own. Jesus paid a price for us. And we all belong to God. So one person have no authority to cast judgment on anyone else. Just because they don't drive what you drive, you can't judge them. Just because don't have what you have, you can't judge them. Just because they don't look as good as you look, you can't judge them. Why? Because we do not have the authority of judgment. Are y'all still with me this morning? Well, Pastor, why don't I have the power of judgment? Well, the reason why is because we belong to him. He does not belong to us. We belong to God. God does not belong to us. We belong to Jesus. Jesus does not belong to us. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. I know some of y'all are like, where is he talking about? Where is he going? But just stay with me. Amen. See. Yes, Jesus died for us. Yes, he redeemed us. Yes, he delivered us. Yes, he brought us from darkness into his marvelous light, but he still does not belong to us. We belong to God. And not only does we belong to God, Jesus belonged to God. Are y'all still with me? So the reason why we do not have the authority to judge is because of what the Bible tells us here in verse number 10. First of all, the Bible asks us a question. And only you can answer this question for yourself. It actually asks us two questions. First of all, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Bible tells us that we were bought with a price. Based on what the Bible tells us in verses 8 and 9, it says, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Verse 9 says, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Jesus paid it all. And because of verse 8, because of verse 9, because of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible asks us two questions in verse 10. The first question the Bible asks us is, why do you judge people? Why do you judge? This is the question that Paul asked the Christians at Rome. Why do you judge? And how many of you know that if you judge other people, you are the only one who can answer that question? Why do you judge people? The second question that verse 10 asks us is, why do we set at naught with our brother? In other words, why do we offend our brothers and our sisters or anyone else? Why do we do that? And then the Bible goes on to tell us in that same verse why we should not judge people and why we should not offend people. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says once again, but why do we judge our brother? Why do you set at naught or offend your brother? He says, for we shall all stand before the what? Seat of who? The Bible says, for we Shall all? That means nobody left out. Regardless of what your opinion is on this, regardless of what your opinion is on that, the Bible says we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, what verse 10 is telling us is that we do not have the authority to judge anyone because God is the judge. We don't have the authority to judge anyone. And when we try to judge people, we are trying to be God. And how many of you know neither you nor me nor those who are streaming, not anyone else in the world, can be God? Are y'all still with me? See, we do not have the authority to judge. Only God have that authority. So Apostle Paul once again told him, why are you all judging one another? Why are you all offending one another? Because God is the judge. And as I said earlier, many times, we as people, Christians or non-Christians, have the tendency to judge someone else without looking at ourselves. How many of you know when we do that, we are stepping out of the line of the Word of God? Are y'all still with me? Amen. See, since we belong to God, because we have already established the fact that we belong to Him, He does not belong to us. But since we belong to Him, we are not powerful enough to take His place. I've heard stories of people living years ago, they thought they was God. But the question is, where are they now? Are you all still with me? We don't belong. He doesn't belong to us. We belong to Him. And Jesus does not belong to us. He belongs to God. Because the Bible tells us in John 3:16, you all know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So He belongs to God. He belonged to God then, and He still belongs to God. You know, when Jesus was baptized in Matthew, the Bible says that a voice from heaven says, that's my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Are y'all still with me? So that means He still belongs to God. So if Jesus belonged to God, and we belong to God, and God is the judge, then we do not have the authority to judge people. Regardless of what they look like, or what they sound like, or what they say. We do not have the authority to judge them just because they don't agree with what we say, just because they do not agree with what we do. And the Apostle Paul wanted to make that clear to those Christians. Because once again, they had lost focus of what they should have been focusing on. And they started focusing on what Minister Felicia talked about on Wednesday night. They were being selfish, and they started judging everybody else. And that's what selfishness will cause people to do, is judge other people. Are you all still with me? So the Apostle Paul, in order to help them, he gave them some very good advice. Once he explained to them that they do not have the authority to judge anyone or offend anyone, he gave them some very important advice. Look at chapter 14 again. We're still there. We're going to spend a little time here today. Look at verse number 13, what he told them. He said, let us not therefore judge one another, what? Anymore. He said, now that I've told you that you don't have the authority to judge, let us not judge anyone else anymore. And then, once he told them that, he gave them some advice. And this advice is for us today. He gave us some advice and told us, number one, what the Christian life was really about. And number two, what Christians should be doing instead of judging people and offending people. Number one, he told us what the Christian life is really about as it relates to the kingdom of God. And number two, he told them what they should be doing instead of judging people and offending people. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 17. He said, I'm going to help you now. Now I've told you what you shouldn't be doing, but now as Christians, I'm going to help you because apparently you have lost focus on what the Christian life is all about. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 17. He says, for the kingdom of God is not meat. I told you because they was judging people based on what they believe on what to eat and what not to eat. Poor rascals. He said, but the kingdom of God is not meat or what? Drink, but what? Righteousness. And what? Peace. And what? Joy. In the who? The Holy Ghost. Good God Almighty. He said, it's not about what you eat. It's not about what you think. It's not about your opinion. It's not about whether it's red, blue, green, black, or orange. Because when we start to disagree with people, or when we start to get upset with people who do not agree with us, we start losing focus of the Christian life. We lose focus because we want to get our point across. Bible says you can't eat. Bible says you can't eat pork. I don't eat no pork. You shouldn't be eating no pork chops. Well, the Bible says you just pray over your food. Yeah, I know it really said it. Why are you arguing about that? Listen, if you don't want to eat it, just don't eat it. All right. All right. Just don't eat it. And if it's good enough, just, if you cook it good enough, bring it to me, I'll eat it for you. See, as Christians, we need to stay focused on what's going on. There are a lot of people out there in the world who's not saved. There are people that's going through things right now who need Jesus. We don't have time to be judging, but there's something else that Paul told them they need to be doing instead of judging. Y'all still with me? The Bible said for the kingdom of God or God's dominion. The dominion, the kingdom, the dominion of God is not about meat and drink, but about righteousness, about peace, and about joy in the Holy Ghost. Notice what that verse did not say. Notice what that verse did not say. Notice that verse did not say it's about righteousness and peace and joy. Notice it didn't say righteousness. Pastor, yes, it did. No, it did not. It did not say it's about righteousness, peace, and joy. It said it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, that's a special kind of righteousness. That's a special kind of peace. That's a special kind of joy. Y'all still with me? And the reason it's very important for us to understand that is because the world has a counterfeit for everything that God have. Are y'all still with me? The world has a counterfeit, and if we are not careful, we will get wrapped up in the world's righteousness, in the world's peace, and in the world's joy, and we'll leave the Holy Ghost out. Are y'all still with me? Because the Holy Spirit, anything that has to do with God or godliness, the Holy Spirit must be involved in it. He must be involved in it. See, Satan, the small g of this world, is a counterfeit. And in this world, there is a counterfeit righteousness and a godly righteousness. There's a counterfeit peace and a godly peace, and there is a counterfeit joy and a godly joy. And the Holy Spirit is always involved in anything of God. Don't be deceived, because Satan is a deceiver. Are y'all still with me? See, Righteousness, the God kind of righteousness, always focuses on pleasing God and doing what's right in his sight. And the reason for that is because as Christians, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says there's none righteous, no, not one. And people say, well, no, nobody's righteous. But how many of you know that we are righteous through Christ Jesus? In other words, we became righteous once we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When we accepted him, God declared us righteous. See? So by the Holy Spirit being on the inside of us, God's righteousness, okay, our righteousness as Christians should always be to please God and do what's pleasing in his sight. The world's righteousness always focuses on pleasing man and doing what's right in his sight. Are y'all still with me? Peace. There's the world peace, and there's godly peace. You know, the Bible, you know, in John chapter 4, verse 27, when Jesus Christ was getting ready to leave the disciples, he said, peace I leave you, my peace, not peace like the world. So what that tells me is that the world has a peace, but God has a peace. Well, Pastor, what's the difference? I tell you what the difference is. In godly peace, we can still have peace in the midst of the storm. We can still have peace in the midst of our situation. We can still have peace in the midst of our circumstances. We can still have peace regardless of what's going on around us. We can still have peace because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So the godly peace is everlasting. Regardless of what the weather do outside, regardless of what CNN News say, regardless of what the people say, we can always have peace knowing that whatever's going on in the world, God will always come out on top. Well, what about the world peace? The world peace don't last. The world peace is the kind of peace that's at peace when everything is okay. But as soon as things start crumbling in your life, all of a sudden you go from peace to fear. That's the world peace. That's why Jesus said, listen, I'm not going to leave you the world peace. Because the world peace is shaky. It might be good on Monday, but what about Tuesday? But the God's kind of peace is everlasting. And the same thing is joy. The joy of the Lord gives us strength. That's powerful joy. That's why we sing this song sometimes. You all have sung this song, many of you. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Well, guess what? You just described the world's kind of peace, the world's kind of joy. They'll give it to you, and as soon as you start enjoying something, they'll snatch it away from you to make you sad. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Are y'all still with me? So it's not so much of righteousness. It's not so much of peace. It's not so much of joy, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because when you have that kind of righteousness, when you have that kind of peace, when you have that kind of joy, can't nothing stop you. They sung that song this morning, the devil's lie. Guess what? It doesn't matter what he say in your ear, when you have that kind of righteousness, that peace, that joy, you can't be moved. Why? Because you know that God is on your side. Are y'all still with me? Amen. That's what we should be focusing on. Not judging people. We should be focusing on having righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because when we do that, we are displaying godly characteristics. Not Satan characteristics, not selfish characteristics, but godly characteristics. Are y'all still with me? See? Because all those characteristics Righteousness, peace, and joy are characteristics of God. Because the Bible tells us that God is righteous. Go to the 11th Psalm. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what we need to be focusing on. That's what the Christian life is all about. Living a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And there's a reason for that. We haven't got that far yet. Are you at the 11th Psalm yet? Amen. There's one person there. Amen. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 5, the 11th Psalm, verse 5. The Bible says that the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Verse 6 says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. But he said, verse 7, I like this. He says, for the righteous Lord loveth what? Righteous. For the righteous Lord loveth righteous. That means that God is a righteous God. So as a Christian, if God is a righteous God, I should be seeking after righteousness. Because once again, righteousness is when I am living according to the way the Word of God tells me to live, and that always pleases God. Why? Because God is a righteous God. Are y'all still with me? Go to the 16th Psalm. You right there? Go to the 16th Psalm. Talking about godly characteristics. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The 16th Psalm. What a mighty God we serve. The Bible's talking about joy here. Look at verse number 8. King David says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He said, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Talking about Jesus. That's another story there. That's another lesson. But I want you to look at verse 11. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. And then the Bible says, in thy presence is what? Fullness of what? Joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He says, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. This is not talking about the world kind of joy. This is talking about the God kind of joy. The kind that the world can't take away from you. Regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what people say to you or about you, they cannot take away this God kind of joy if you have this kind of joy. Because once again, like the song, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. So in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Not just any kind of joy, but the God kind of joy. In 1 Peter, the Bible talks about this unspeakable joy. I mean, joy, 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 joy. Unspeakable joy. See, that's what we should be focusing on, is how to obtain this joy instead of worrying about judging other people. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Back over in the New Testament. For those of you who haven't been here, when we teach the word, we always use the Bible. We like to show where the scripture is at. Because when I was growing up, I used to go to church, sit down, nobody had a Bible. And people used to believe everything just because the preacher said it. And they used to say amen, and they didn't know what they were saying amen to. But here at Word of Knowledge, we use the Bible. So you can see what we say. Are y'all still with me? I know I didn't learn anything. Maybe y'all learned something. I didn't learn anything when I was growing up. All I learned was if I don't do right, I'm going to hell. I already knew that. already knew that. So guess what I did as the years went on? I stopped going to church. Because I got tired of people telling me I'm going to hell. I already knew that. So I stopped going for years. But God. I realize there's more to the Christian life than not just going to hell. Amen. Look at verse number 5. The Bible tells us, don't worry about a thing in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. It said, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the Bible says, and the peace of who? The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I wanted you to see that God has a peace different from the world. I told you he did, but I wanted you to see it. The Bible's talking about the peace of God, not the peace of the world. Because as I told you before, the peace of the world, you might have peace now, but as soon as something happens, that peace go out the back door. But you can have the God kind of peace in the midst of the storm. The peace of God passes all understanding. Well, Pastor, what does all that mean? I mean, you talked about judgment. You talked about offending people. You talked about the righteousness, peace, and joy, other than righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I mean, what does all of that mean to me? Well, I tell you what it means to you. When you are living in righteousness, peace, and joy by way of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the ingredient, you are performing a service to Christ that is pleasing to God. And every Christian have the responsibility to please God. So when I am living a life of righteousness, the God kind, peace, the God kind, and joy, the God kind, I am living a life as a servant of Jesus Christ, and that's pleasing to God. Well, Pastor, you just made that up. No, I didn't. I saw it in the Word. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 14. It's in here. Go back to Romans 14. Romans 14, I want to show it to you. I am performing a service to Christ, and I'm pleasing God. When I live a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to show it to you. Same place where I saw it. Once again, verse 17. The Bible said, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God. And guess what? It's also approved to man. Once again, for he that in these things serves Christ. In other words, if I serve Christ by living a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells me it's also acceptable or pleasing to God. That's why I need to do it. How many of you know that judging and offending people is not pleasing to God? But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is pleasing to God. Because when I live a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, what I do is I attract people to God. I'm not going to attract anyone to God if I go around judging people and offending people. I'm going to run them away from God. But when I live a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, I am attracting people to God. Well, Pastor, how can that be? How can that be? Well, let me tell you how it can be. The reason why it's that way is because it allows you, number one, to see people the way God sees people. It allows us to see people in love. And when we see people in love, instead of us judging people, we will start to edify people. Instead of us offending people, we would start to encourage people. And when we start to edify people instead of judge them, when we start to encourage people instead of offend them, it draws them to God. Why? Because they can then begin to see the Jesus in us. See, Christians, I'm going to share something with you that you might not even have ever thought about. This is what I believe, and this is what I've always believed, based on experience. See, we know that the Bible tells us that God created man in his image after his likeness in Genesis. And we know that the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve, because they messed up, now we all have to be born again. But as I've told you earlier in this lesson, we, although everybody are not saved, we still belong to God. Well, Pastor, how can we belong to God if we're not saved? Well, you know what? Whose bottle is that? That's yours? Okay, so this is his bottle of water. I took it, but it's still not mine. It still belongs to him. So we all belong to God. And what I believe, thank you, sir, for letting me use your water. I should have washed, amen. I'm sorry, amen. I should have put it, hey, look, so sanitize. So this is what I believe. The Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became alive. I know King James says living soul, but that word means nephesh. It just means he became alive. So once again, we all belong to God. So I believe that because God created mankind, every spirit, every person in the world, and then in many cases they don't know it because Satan has blinded their mind. Everyone is trying to get back to God. They just don't know how to do it. Number one, Adam and Eve sinned. Number one, Satan have contaminated their mind. And everybody's trying to get back to Jesus. Let me tell you why I know that. It's because I remember many, many years ago, I was in Germany, and this person I used to work with, they were not a Christian, and we was riding in the highway, and all of a sudden, we turned this corner, and they almost slammed into someone else's car. And they said, "Oh, God!" Now, why would they call God? People curse you out, but as soon as something happened to them, I'm just going to pray and ask God to help me. They're not even saved. I believe every spirit, this is me, Ron chapter 9, verse 99. I believe every spirit is trying to get back to God. And I believe that the spirit recognize, and people don't even realize it, they recognize the Jesus when they see him. And when they see Christians living in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, it draws them to you because they ask you, you know, you're always so nice. Why are you different from everyone else? And guess what happens? It gives you the opportunity to share the word. And when you share the word with them, because you're operating in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, they will take time to listen to what you have to say. In other words, they will have an opportunity to receive the same righteousness that you have. Why? Because righteousness, we understand righteousness because righteousness is received through the word of God. It's received through the word of God. See? So not only will it help them, it helps you. Because once again, instead of judging, now you're edifying. Instead of of offending, now you are encouraging. And when we edify and we are encouraging, we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. See, as Christians, we must understand that there are two ways to do things. There is the world's way, and there is the Christian way. We always say, well, we're in the world, but we're not out of the world, but stop acting like the world. Because the world's way is all about judging people and offending people. But God's way is all about exhorting, edifying, and encouraging. And we start to encourage people, they start to see Jesus. And then we have the opportunity to minister the word to them, and they get the opportunity to receive the same righteousness that we receive. Because righteousness comes from the word of God. I'm going to show it to you. Go to Romans chapter 1. I believe everybody's trying to get back to Jesus. That's why we can't take for granted when people come to church for the first time. It might be the first time they've ever come to church. People looking for Jesus. I was talking to someone, I was talking to Ronald on Saturday. We're just talking about Christian stuff. And it's very important to not just church, but every church, how you treat people when they come through the door, because you might be the only Jesus that they ever see. People come to church and people act a fool. They never go to another church again because they think all churches are that way. Well, Christians can be sometimes. Start judging people. I remember at a young age, one of the reasons why I didn't go to church at one point, because I didn't have a suit. Everybody else was going to church with suits on. I said, well, I don't have a suit, I'm not going, because I know they're going to be laughing at me. Because that's what Christians do. Instead of edify, we judge. Instead of encourage, we offend. That's not the Christian way. Are you in Romans chapter 1? We're just talking about what we should be focusing on. But just like the Christians in Rome, they were focusing on the wrong thing. And Paul had to get them back on track. Look at Romans chapter 1. This is Paul talking once again. Whenever I get there, my page is looking like they're about to trying to stick together. Look at verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? Of what? The gospel of Christ is the power of God into what? Salvation. That means if anyone gets saved, ever, they have to go through the gospel. And we know that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Taught in his word. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then verse 17 said, for therein, or for in the gospel of Christ, for in the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed. For in the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God. Notice what it did not say. Notice it did not say the righteousness of the world is revealed. I told you there are two different kinds of righteousness. There's the God righteousness and the world's righteousness. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith. As it is written, the Bible says, those who are declared righteous, the just, shall do what? Live by faith. In other words, when we witness to those who are lost, because they saw the light shining on the inside of us, based on how we live our life, they don't see us out there judging. They don't see us out there offending. They see us as living a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And they come to us, they say something about you, and you say, yeah, it's something about me. I serve Jesus. And then many times people will say, like they said to Peter in Acts, what must I do to be saved? Don't you know that your life is a witness? People always say, you got to go, you know, you need to accept Jesus. You know, you need to, no, just live your life. And the Holy Spirit will glow on you just like a light in the night. And they will see that light. Because darkness can always see light. Are y'all still with me? So when I ministered the word to them, it would allow them to receive the righteousness. And guess what? After they receive salvation, then they get the opportunity to experience the God kind of peace and the God kind of joy. That thing that used to shake them up, it won't shake them up anymore. Because they realize that God is bigger than their situation and their circumstance. They get the opportunity to receive the God kind of joy. They will realize that whenever I'm going through a situation in life, I just focus on God. Because the joy of the Lord will give me strength, not make me weak. All because we were living examples. And that's what Christians are supposed to be. We are. The Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. So we're not supposed to run people from Jesus. We're supposed to lead them to Jesus. But if we're going around living like the world, judging people all the time, and offending people all the time, nobody going to come to us. They're going to run away from us. Once again, the Apostle Paul asks us a question in Romans 14:10. Why do we judge? Why do we offend? Some people say, well, I can't get in. I invite people to church. They just don't come. Why not? Maybe they see something that we don't see. Maybe they see an action that we don't even realize we acted. Maybe they just happen to be walking by. When we were in this little clique judging somebody, and they happen to just walk by. Maybe they saw us when we took off the Christian hat and put it to the side. And all of a sudden, we get close to them, we put it back on. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But people see you. People see me. People see Christians when we don't think they see us. They watch us. Some people probably carry a pad around. World's way, there's God's way. Are y'all still with me? So once again, as Christians, we have a special way to live. The world's way is judging and condemning and offending. The Christian way is edifying and encouraging. When last time we encouraged someone? Well, when last time we offended someone? Only we can answer that question. Y'all still with me? God is very serious about judging people and offending people. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. I don't know if I'm going to finish this message today. Matthew 7. Very serious about judgment because it's not the Christian way. It's the world's way. Not the Christian way. Are you at Matthew 7? Look what Jesus said. He said, judge not in verse 1 that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And behold, why do you look at the speck or dust in your brother's eye, but you do not consider that big plank in your own eye? That's Jesus asking questions. The Bible's been asking us questions this morning. He says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote or the speck of dust in your eye, and you have a big old beam up in your eye? And then Jesus have a name for those kind of people. He called them hypocrites. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. And what Jesus is saying here is that no one's perfect. Everybody have their own opinion. You cannot judge people because they don't agree with what you think or what you have. Are y'all still with me? Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Talking about judging and offending. Luke 17. This is Jesus again. Very serious. Very serious. It's not the Christian way. Not the Christian way. Amen. Are y'all there yet? Look at verse number 1. Talking about offending people. Jesus said, it is impossible that offenses will come. I'm sorry. It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him. When you see that word woe in the Bible, you better look out. He says, woe unto him through whom they come. Woe unto the one who offends someone else. He said, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast it to the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. That's pretty serious there. You know, Jesus said, it's better for him that a millstone was hanging about his neck and thrown into a sea. That means that he's pretty serious about people offending people. You know what a millstone is? A millstone, they used to use it back in the day, they might still use it, to grind grain. It's a big old heavy round brick-like thing. It weighs a lot. And Jesus saying, it's better for someone to put a rope around your neck and tie it to a millstone and throw you in the sea. Not you. It's not you. He ain't talking about you. He's talking about anybody. He's talking about me? No, not you. Then to offend someone. You know, in Judges, Gideon's son, Abimelech, was walking down the street, walking somewhere, and this lady up in this building, she threw a millstone down and hit him in the head and killed him. That must have been a pretty heavy thing. But Jesus said it's better that someone put one around the offender's neck and throw him in the water than for him to offend. That's why it's not the Christian's way. It's the world's way, but it's not the Christian way. Not to judge, not to offend. See, once again, God's way is edifying and encouraging because, number one, you never know what a person is going through. They may smile at you, but they could be going through anything. You never know what they've faced. You know, you have people sometimes, they go through situations and they even consider suicide because they feel like there's no way out. That's why Christians have to encourage people. build people up, not tear them down. Build people up, because that's God's way. Are y'all still with me? In Ephesians chapter 4, 27, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but the Bible says that let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but to edify you. That's God's way, to lift people up, to edify. When they're down, lift them up. How do we lift them up? By speaking encouraging words. Not words to defeat them. You'll never be nothing. Look at your situation. You know, people go through things. They sad. They cry. We judge them. Oh, ain't nothing wrong with them. He didn't need to get out. I thought the Bible said that we would not judge. Encourage them. I don't know what you're going through, but it's going to be okay. Don't know what you're going through, but God is great. He loves you. And I love you too. We can get through this thing together. That's what people won't need to hear when they're down. Not, you down? Okay, let me continue to step on you. That's not the Christian way. Are y'all still with me? The Christian way is edifying and encouraging. The world's way is judging and offending. And you know what else? My time is up. We'll continue part 2 next week. Stand to your feet.